And earthquakes, you say, are, and we've heard the term earthquake weather, but mm-hmm. maybe not exactly the way that you were referring to it in this book.
Yeah, I think of it as a type of weather because it just sort of comes and you're not, you don't really know when it's coming. And then it presents different extremes that you have to either be careful of buildings or, you know, be aware of what could happen and watch things fall down. And of course, the San Francisco, there's been earthquakes here in our, not our lifetime, but in the last couple of generations, last century or two, there's been substantial damage. So it's, yeah, it's kind of part of that intimidation, I feel.
Sensing that it could happen at any moment. There could be a 10 in Seattle at any moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about a 10, but that's pretty.
The Seattle fault, they've talked about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you are fascinated by the deep, you say in the book, that you call it the details of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gleam in your eye when I say that. People die when that happens, and yet you're looking at this like, you know, you're not quite rubbing your hands together, but that you see something incredibly beautiful in those acts.
Well, the idea is that I don't want to be afraid. And to not be afraid, you need to study something that makes you afraid. I mean, what is it? You know, learn to be with it. Understand it and study it. When I was in Houston, there was a hurricane. And although I missed the actual hurricane, I came because I went back to Seattle during the semester breaks. I was walking on the beach, what's one of the essays, and I could see the destruction of, there would be beachfront homes that had, like, just, it was all there, and just the wall, one wall was gone, and there was furniture and curtains, and I call it sort of, yeah, different landscapes of destruction. Then there'd be another place where there would be a spiral staircase to nothing. It was, I thought it was fascinating. And then with all that destruction, there would be like a light bulb on the sand that was unscathed. And I mean, this sort of energy is something to meditate on. I mean, it's part of, I mean, life is impermanent and we're vulnerable. And what's that about, you know?
That's where the beauty comes in, because of the impermanence.
Right.
So to experience a moment, because it'll never happen again exactly like that.
Right.
Is part of the beauty of being alive.
Right.
Is this some of what being in the Himalayas made you more aware of?
That's a good question. Well, I mean, there were times when there were dangers that I was a teenager when I went, so I was fairly young and not really tuned into different types of dangers. but I learn. I'm a quick learner.
But there's also a Buddhist sense that permeates that. That's really,
yeah,
pure Buddhism.
Mm-hmm. Right, impermanence. But it's not so much a fear of destruction. It's just learning to be in the moment so that if something arises, you can accept it. You can't control everything. Accept it and note it and move on, or help others, whatever, you know, whatever needs to be done.
When you talk about acceptance, I'm going back to my notes from Climate of Extremes, and I see that I've written down the phrase climate of closed spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately relate to that on some level and from my own experience, and recoiling from those kinds of places. So someone who wasn't able to accept or go to that level of acceptance, we'd be talking about a closed person to some level, and it's a continuum, obviously. But do you remember what you had in mind, or would you like to read from the introduction of the book?
Yeah, so let me just read that.
I guess pages, I was making notes. Yeah, 3, 4, 5, and 6, I guess.
Yeah.
You can see some of the underlined passages. There's the paragraph right there.
All right. I can read this. So at first I called it Weather Book because a lot of it was like weather. So Weather Book was a short-lived title. Much as I am enthralled by catastrophic weather, I realize weather is only an agent of change. Weather is inseparable from the landscape it affects. There are landscapes of destruction, of earthquakes, tidal waves, hurricanes, and blizzards, and interior landscapes, the climate of closed spaces, the weather of dreams, memory, and the imagination. Landscape has a way of slipping into and transforming consciousness. When fog slips into a coastal town and erases buildings, streets, and woods, or when ice coats the branches and snow shrouds the ground, vistas of absence and dormancy cloud my mind. Every change in the landscape follows a downward progression, that is, toward the demise of order and the disintegration of life and body. Landslides and avalanches signal crumbling mountains. Hurricanes transform vacation beach homes into instant rubble. Disintegration inevitably points to destruction, decay, and death. Whether I witness a catastrophic event or watch the tiniest dewdrop dissolve on a window pane, the conditions are similar. All phenomena dissolve and disintegrate. The more I think about change and watch the shift of seasons, the more I acknowledge the impermanence of all things. The notion of impermanence lies behind every creature's struggle for survival. The struggle to survive in the wild becomes a metaphor, the prototype for every possible struggle. The landscapes of my life, many located in the West, are catalysts for thinking about my place in the world and how fragile and temporary human existence is, and how fragile the natural environment is. To offset the sobering truth of my own inevitable journey towards death, I take pleasure in noticing the changes of weather, the details of destruction. There is a beauty in the way the elements touch on or move through the landscape. I never tire of watching the seasons manifest themselves. Visions of natural disasters enthrall me. Impermanence is a constant, a universal truth. What in this world is permanent? Rocks, wildlife, earth, water, air, human life, all is in motion and flux. Impermanence is the root of change. The disintegration of the physical world points to the inevitable progress of death. In this sense, this collection is not about where I live and work, nor about the climate and landscapes of the North American continent. Rather, these are somber vistas of impermanence. The wilder the weather, the harsher the climate, the greater my reveries of vulnerability. In the absence of shelter and permanence, all climates are extreme.